We had to reach back into the vault for this one. Recorded over a year ago, we are now able to show this interview with Kaylee Christensen and Kelly Oriar. A therapist and teacher by trade, Kelly and Kaylee started sewing cuddly creatures with intention 6 years ago to sell at local craft fairs. Today, they're not only co-CEOs of the fast-growing Slumberkins, but can now add co-executive producers to the list, as the Jim Henson Company has produced Slumberkins into a children's TV show that is distributed by Apple TV+. Those are two big names, Henson and Apple. And working with those companies is a testament to these two best friends that have nurtured and invested in an idea whose time has come. And that simple idea? Doing all we can to help parents raise emotionally healthy children. Quite literally, investing in the future of our world. This interview is a rare glimpse of those first days filming down in Hollywood. Kelly and Kaylee reach back to tell the story of where they've been, how they got there, and what it feels like now. We hope you enjoy, and we'll see you down the road. Kelly and Kaylee, thanks for being on Roadcast. Maybe just set up where we are right now. Just this moment in time, I think it would be super fun just to go literally, like, where are we? What's happening?
We are in the Hollywood Hills, about 10 minutes away from the Jim Henson Studios, where we are recording or filming our first season of the Slumberkins preschool series. Yeah.
That's crazy. I think part of this is just such a cool time to, like, almost just, like, pause for a second and be like, you know, almost like pinched. For me, knowing the both of you and Slumberkins, like, from Vancouver, Washington, just kind of pinch yourself and be like, we're in the Hollywood Hills in production with Henson Company, you know, like legendary studios, you know, and we're here. So I think that's just an amazing kind of, like, set the scene. And I think it would be interesting for people to hear about, like, I know that you, like, the first time you got to walk on set yesterday or the day before, I would love to hear just, like, what that was like.
It's completely surreal. Like, I think it's just too much to take in, actually, mm-hmm. to, like, every day you take one little step after the other and you talk about, as an entrepreneur, right, you talk about the big things that are happening and you're always, you know, talking it up and riding the roller coaster of the ups and downs. And when one of these massive ups come, it's almost like unbelievable.
It's just another day and it's just another step.
It's just the next thing.
Absolutely.
A big step.
It's big, and there are times, and I'm glad you guys are here with us, because we were driving to dinner the other night, and I was like, guys, what are we doing here? What are we doing? We're from Vancouver, Washington.
Yes.
We sewed something at our table just a few years ago, and now we're working with the Jim Henson Company, and we just walked onto a set of 70 people that brought our characters to life.
Yeah.
And they, like, the characters, like, greeted us when we came into set.
That. Like, literally, what did it look like? What happened?
Yeah, so they lined up the puppeteers with the characters, the five main characters with the show, and we walked in, and the puppets actually greeted us and said, welcome to your set, and we got to interact and play with the characters as
their
character.
Give them big hugs.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I don't know, maybe just talk about that journey of, like, experiencing all these moments and what are the kind of hard one, it doesn't have to be lessons, but just, like, some of the things that stand out to you of, like, man, this really, you know, through that journey, these are the things that stand out to us.
I think the thing that has served us the best in this whole journey is that, you know, from the get-go, we were just so excited and enthusiastic about every step of the way. We had big dreams about what this could be, mm-hmm. but we didn't have expectations or a plan that, like, mapped out how we were supposed to get there
or what defined success.
I remember my husband saying to me early on when we were, like, super pumped up for the craft fair, because we had spent hours, like,
at Mountain View High School the holiday craft fair. We had our booth in the wrestling room.
We were super pumped so up, good. And we had spent hours and hours sewing, and he knew what we were putting into it and was like, you know, I'm just worried, like, what if you fail? Like, what if, what's going to happen if this doesn't work out, Kelly? And we had, like, P.S. sold out of Slumberkins. We had, like, 20 of them at the Mountain View.
We sold out of 20.
Oh, and
so good.
But it was like
that was it for us. We were like, I was like, how could we fail? We already just succeeded. Like, so you can't fail when you're succeeding along the way. And even if you do fail, right, then you're learning from it and you're doing the next thing. And as long as the passion is there, as long as the drive is there, as long as the next step is in front of you and you feel good about it, then you just take it. And then all of a sudden you kind of like look around and you're like, oh my God, I'm in the Hollywood Hills. Like, what's happening?
I mean, that's a pretty big jump.
But it is.
That's a big jump.
That's how I feel though. Yeah. That's how I feel.
How many years is the jump though? That's interesting.
That was 6 years ago.
It's not that long.
No, it's not. I still remember when we were able to buy our computer, like for me.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, for you.
For me.
We were able to get one computer.
You got the computer.
And I got the computer and I thought, well, we've made it. If nothing else, I got a computer out of this. A cool Mac computer.
That's my favorite.
And there's just been like all of those steps along the way. Every time we have a success, like you can look and say, well, if everything crashes and burns, it's been a great ride. It's been a great story. I got a computer out of it. And
I guess I will go back to my career as a teacher.
Oh my gosh, that makes me so happy. That's so good. What's your role on the show right now? Like, what's that look like? What are you guys doing? Do you have input? What's that process been like?
So we are co-executive producers on the show.
Okay.
And I oversee more of the creative, like, vision around the visual design and development, the puppets and the animation backgrounds and all of that. And then Kelly.
Yeah, I'm more on the content and therapeutic side. So I'm really involved in the script process, write most of the mantras that show up at the end of every episode. So it's really brand aligned and we're hitting to like deeper core beliefs that we get to with our products. Really pushing for the therapeutic depth and consulting there. It's been a process. So I think we intuitively did this with our products, right? We created the storylines. I infused the therapeutic techniques that I would be using in family therapy into the books to try to create these meaningful moments within the books that connected parent and child. So now it was like transposing that into a medium that's completely different. We really had to rethink, okay, who's sitting there? How are we reaching them? What's the intent of what we're trying to do? How do we get to the heart of what we're trying to do with the products in a totally different format? Mm-hmm. And it took a while. You know, I have to hand it to a few people. So Dr. Alice Wilder from Apple, she is, you know, amazing in the children's preschool industry. She's like the person to know developmentally how kids take in this information. She worked on Tumbleleaf. She worked on Blue's Clues, like just the best of the best. And she went above and beyond and spent extra time with me and with our team to dive in and help us articulate what was different about how we were approaching it, because we were really approaching it differently, and help us pull that out and put it into a more simple framework.
It's almost the beauty of Slumberkins is the stealth side of the of the delivering of the content through the books. Like, anyone can pick up a book and read it to a child, but what you don't really realize is that the way that the books are written, it is giving the caregiver or parent the actual words to use that are so empowering, and it's scripting it basically that the children really need to hear from the primary caregiver. And that's where, as a therapist, Kelly so like recognized that those are such simple things that like really she was giving tools to parents like that in sessions within family therapy that could easily be written into a book.
These messages that Slumberkins is getting across, you know, seem very simple, and yet they're the hardest messages for people, for humans to believe.
Yes. And that's the beautiful thing about it, is that actually kids are really open to those ideas.
Oh God, so good.
Kids will hold that and believe that, especially if it's coming from their primary caregiver or somebody who's really important to them that's older, right? But now, as being an older person, a grown up myself now, I realized that, you know, along the way, because of the experiences that I've had, the different things in my life, the different traumas, right? I don't believe those things anymore, or I have pain and hurt that blocks me from accessing that. So I think that's another reason why when adults read the books or adults do the affirmations and mantras with kids, mm-hmm. they feel that healing. They feel that, oh, I wish I would have known this earlier.
Yeah. It's like a cheat code, you know, like as a parent going, I can see what I need to be. It's difficult to be that. Here's an assist.
And how hard is it when you're a parent? Like anyone exactly. out there who's a parent, that was the big, I think, aha moment for us and why we started it on maternity leave was, I mean, I was a therapist before we started Slumberkins, and I knew all of this before, mm-hmm. logically, in my brain. And then I had a child, and it went
exactly
phew, that's right exactly out the right. window.
Exactly.
Right out the window. You are all of a sudden your best and worst self all at the same time, and it's chaotic, and it's crazy, and it's a mess, and all I needed was somebody to just help. Somebody tell me what to say.
Yeah. Talk us through the show. Like, did you have control of who was going to produce it? I mean, you're in production with Henson. Like, was there intentionality with that, or... I would love to hear just a little bit about the journey.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny. When we went on Shark Tank in 2017, afterwards, we had an influx of orders and so money on hand. And we took, I think it was $14,000 that we allocated for our budget. And we tried our own hand at making a puppet and making a production.
What year was this?
End of 2017, early 2018.
Yeah.
So we had a friend.
And you guys just made the puppet? Or
we had a friend made the puppet and built a set in his garage. And we filmed like three
in
videos.
In Vancouver, Washington?
No, it was actually here in L.A.
Okay.
Yeah. And so we tried our hand at bringing the characters to life. We always had the vision of bringing characters to life. I think it was a logical step to try to bring them to life ourselves. So, and then we ended up meeting the president of television for the Jim Henson Company, Hallie Stanford, at a conference. And it is a little bit of hard work and a little bit of luck too, because that meeting was one that you can't just get a meeting with the president of television for the Jim Henson Company. Like there's typically steps in a process of pitching an idea and so many gatekeepers in front of her that usually, you know, you have to get through. So we ended up meeting her at a dinner at this conference for creative entrepreneurs. And
it was just like at a conference and you
And we were introduced by someone that knew both of us, but we hadn't met each other. And she had been looking for something with helping kids cope with anxiety and emotions because she was at the time a single working mom and really resonated. So as soon as we spoke to her about Slumberkins and we shared the mission and the depth, she was like, we were at an offsite dinner the day after we met her and in Palm Springs. And she was like, let's do this. Let's make a show. I love it. And we were like, kicking ourselves under the table. And Kelly is the most frugal person that I know.
Yeah.
And she was like, we're covering this dinner. I was like, we are? Okay.
I'm going to go take care of the dinner. I'm going to make a move here. Oh, we got it. Our bank account went to like...
But it was a pretty magical moment. And I think, you know, with the Jim Henson Company's history in being able to engage children through... media and television and knowing that they really care about the content they produce, it just naturally felt like the right partner, especially too as they brought in more people for the show, like Alex Rockwell, the showrunner, really the kind of the creator of how Slumberkins like translates to television for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's just funny because in the process of our friend who lives in LA was also a big Jim Henson fan and even called the creature shop to price it out because we were like, okay, this is our budget. And so he was like, well, maybe we could get the creature shop to make it because he'd never made a puppet before. He was just a big fan and a creative. So he called and tried to get a bid. They're quite expensive.
Turns out puppets are expensive.
Turns out one puppet was our full budget, so we couldn't do that.
Did you make a? Did you do anything with the puppet? So, I mean,
we had photos of it.
Yeah.
When we met Hallie, so we were like, "Look, we're making the puppet." And she was like, "You are." She's like,
"That's just so amazing." I feel like there's so much serendipity in all of it. That's like, how could you? You couldn't plan it.
No.
What was giving you confidence to reinvest, to double down?
Well, we still were working our jobs in education, which we had based our lives around, right? Like we were both, we started this while we were on maternity leave. Uh-huh. I had planned to go back part-time. You know,
we did go back part-time.
Mm-hmm. So we were getting a salary of what we expected for our lives to mm-hmm. be, I mean, as educators. And so it seemed to us at the time, everything that we were doing was like upside.
Why not us?
Yeah.
Why not us?
Yeah.
I think it was a moment before Shark Tank when we were contemplating we need to probably quit our part-time jobs and full in on Slumberkins so that when we're in the tank and the sharks ask, like, are you all in? Mm-hmm. We can say we're all in. And I think there was a moment we were driving out of Kelly's neighborhood and she gave me the why not us speech.
What was the speech?
It was like the Friday Night Lights speech. Like,
clear eyes, full heart, can't lose.
Exactly. No, I mean, it was really like, okay, let's look at this logically.
Yeah.
The people who are making the toys and the things that we buy,
yeah,
right? Like, love who it. Are they?
Yeah.
They're not moms. They're not like us.
Oh,
like,
I love it.
They're not a teacher. They're not a therapist. Who actually is on the ground caring about what our kids are reading and what they are experiencing and how they're growing and emotional wellness and mental health?
Oh, that's great.
Not those people. So why not us? Who else would do this? Really?
I mean, I'm ready.
This is what I said to Kaylee. I was like, who else is going to do it?
If
it's not us, I'm like, who's it going to be? Yeah. It's going to be somebody else just like us. So why not us?
I don't know. What are your hopes for it? What do you think's going to happen?
I mean, we have no clue what to expect. I mean, we're constantly now trying to figure out what to expect and like how to plan for it. What's unique about Slumberkins is we are a direct-to-consumer brand that started as a consumer products company because we, even if we had the ideas of like the books and the content and the characters, we didn't know how to bring that to life other than just like sew a product ourselves and like make revenue and build it that way. Mm-hmm. Where like traditionally in the world of children's entertainment and content, there mm-hmm. are like innovation teams within mm-hmm. production studios coming up with IP and concepts and products that then gets plugged in from a entertainment first, mm-hmm. then products.
Yeah.
So we're on this kind of forefront of there aren't many examples to turn to and look to for like what to expect. Mm-hmm. So we're just kind of, we sit here and scratch our heads every day over trying to predict it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what a year from now will look like.
I think we took a risk in like doing something innovative with the look of the show and the bringing back the nostalgia of puppets and mixing it with animation. It's not like anything else out there from the look and also from the content side. So I'm like,
we've taken like steps in innovation in multiple areas.
Yes.
Hopefully it works.
And so, you know, there's part of me that's like, oh, I really hope that it looks amazing and that people see the depth and what we tried to put into it and that it comes across in the way that we intended. Because I think that's always a bit of a unknown, right? Yeah. Like even if I always would say that about the product too, like you make a product, right? Like we made it Slumberkin and we made a story. I wrote a story and I had an intention about what it would do and hoped that that would resonate or that people would take some what I had put into it and receive it in that way. But you never know.
No.
You never know if a kid's going to take the and be like, on to the next or that story is boring or I didn't like it, you know? And I was always continually surprised and delighted that people saw what we were doing and it resonated and I felt so grateful for that. So, you know, really taking a step into a new medium where we haven't proven ourselves. We haven't shown that we can have that same kind of stickiness and resonance that we did in the product. Like, this is our moment to show that we translated it to children's media.
Yeah.
And that's a huge, huge thing. And we took a lot of risks. You know, you just hope that it serves people and that it does what you're hoping. And I guess at the end of the day, if it doesn't, we're learning something from it. And we got to spend a few weeks in Hollywood Hills and record a movie that just went plop. Plop.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. Well, I think that's a fantastic place to stop. Thank you so much for including us in the journey, letting us like listen and participate and witness like what's happening. It's so fun to kind of be alongside and watch it unfold.